This is VOA News in Washington. I'm Jeff Custer. As Ukraine's counteroffensive continues, VOA's Heather Murdock has been embedded with Ukraine's military in an eastern Ukraine combat zone, and Thursday told VOA's Flashpoint Ukraine program what she's seen.
In the combat zone, we also saw villages that we expected, because Ukraine has taken so much pain and effort to retake these areas from Russia, which occupied them for more than a year. We expected to find something, some part of a town, but what we found was just complete destruction. There's a Ukrainian flag flying over a supermarket in one of the towns that are now active combat, but the supermarket is really just a bombed out shell. And then the battle itself is just everywhere strewn, like including the bodies of Russian soldiers still lying in the field. The soldiers that were fighting at that in that exact spot must have left in a huge hurry because they left everything behind.
Russian mercenary chief Yevgeny Prigozhin Friday accused the Russian military of shelling positions of his Wagner Group soldiers, killing many of them. It is the latest and perhaps most egregious example of infighting and perhaps deep dysfunction among Russian President Vladimir Putin's lieutenants, as AP correspondent Charles de Ledesma reports.
Putin is silently watching increasingly raucous infighting that has emerged among top members of his entourage amid the war in Ukraine. While it doesn't seem to pose any immediate threat to Putin's power itself, some analysts say his failure to quell the squabbles between Yevgeny Prigozhin, the maverick head of the Wagner private military contractor, and the military brass, heralds potential shifts in Russia's political scene and sets the stage for more internal battles. It has pushed Prigozhin to the forefront of Russia's political scene and has signaled his growing ambitions. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
You'll find expanded coverage of world news and events at voanews.com 24 hours a day. This is VOA News. U.S. President Joe Biden and Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi pledged deeper U.S.-India cooperation in the technology sector during a meeting with U.S. and Indian business leaders. Modi's Washington visit continued Friday. The CEOs of top American companies, including FedEx, MasterCard, and Adobe, and representatives of Indian companies such as Tech Mahindra and Mastek, were among the 1,200 participants. At the meeting, Biden announced collaborations between the two nations.
And together, we're lifting the private and public partners to make this possible, including launching a new program between India and America, American astronauts, Indian astronauts, and entrepreneurs, scientists, students. Simply put, our countries are taking innovation and cooperation to a new level in our relationship.
Saturday will mark the final day of Modi's first state visit to the United States. The U.S. Supreme Court Friday, on an 8-1 vote, gave U.S. President Joe Biden's administration the green light to move ahead with guidelines shifting immigration enforcement toward countering public safety threats, handing him a victory in a politically contentious issue in a legal battle. Reuters correspondent Zachary Goldman reports.
Biden's policy prioritized apprehending and deporting non-U.S. citizens deemed to pose a threat to national security, public safety, or border security, giving agents more discretion to consider individual circumstances. It reflected an effort by Biden to recalibrate immigration policy after the hardline approach of his predecessor, Republican Donald Trump, who sought to expand the range of immigrants subject to arrest and removal. But Republican attorneys general in two states, Texas and Louisiana, sued to block Biden's shift. They argued that they would be harmed by having to spend more money on law enforcement and social services due to an increase in non-U.S. citizens present within their borders. The justices agreed with Biden's administration that the states lacked standing to sue because they have not suffered direct harm from the policy.
A retired German businessman who took an underwater OceanGate voyage to see the Titanic in 2021 now calls himself naive following this week's deadly accident. AP correspondent Donna Warder reports.
61-year-old Arthur Leubel was one of the submersible company's first customers, but he now calls it a suicide mission and says you have to be a little crazy to do this sort of thing. Leubel tells Sky News when OceanGate announced it was offering dives in 2019, he jumped at the chance, but he says the trip was repeatedly delayed because of a problem with the battery and balancing weights.
Some dives before, they got problems with the battery systems.
He says also on that trip were Titanic expert P.H. Nargolet and OceanGate CEO Stockton Rush, two of the men who lost their lives. I'm Donna Warder.
In Washington, I'm Jeff Custer. This is VOA News.